Good evening to everyone. Welcome to the Shukri Wright Show. This is indeed Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusfee Farm Radio. Glad you're able to join on this Saturday, February 1st, 2020. It's been some week, it has been some month. And with everything that's going on this week, we have a lot to talk about, as this is the first show that I've done, that I'll be doing since the Kobe Bryant radio show tribute, which was Tuesday. It was this past Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. So in case if you may have missed it, you can go on to WMFO.org, go to the schedule, and it's in there for the archives to listen. I'll be sharing one more thought on Kobe Bryant before we continue the show to talk about the rest of what's going on in the world of Boston sports as it pertains to the local sports teams. But without further ado, the line is open. You can call into the show, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. Those who are tuned in to the show via TuneIn Radio and as well as WMFO.org, much appreciated. Thank you for tuning in. I got to tell you, there was something that I came across this week in regarding to Kobe Bryant that I waited essentially an entire, almost an entire week to get this off my chest. And there's some things that absolutely need to be said. And there are things that have an appropriation that absolutely goes along with it. There's a time and place for everything. There's a time and place for when you want to speak about something that is a bit controversial. And then there's a time to actually put out a piece of information in which that it hasn't been either verified or you're just speaking just for the simple fact of, you know, oh, hey, when is the right time to talk about it? So allow me to speak about this now. So it was a few days ago. It was this week that I'm not going to give this person's name away. Not out of fear, but rather I'm going to keep it classy. There was a person this week that wrote out an article, and it started out with, you know, talking about the death of Kobe Bryant and so forth. And yet somehow this individual basically felt the need to mention about his rape case. And that was part of what got me angry. What really got me angry was the fact that appropriation. When is it appropriate to talk about this? Especially now, mind you, he was never charged, although it was settled in civil court, but he was never charged with rape. I'm not here to say whether he was innocent or guilty. That's not the point. The point is, if you choose 2 days after a person has died in a manner in which they died to write columns, come out the woodworks to try to throw dirt on a man's legacy, shame on you. Because there are certain things that you just don't do. Number one, there are people that are still grieving right now. And now, if you go back to Tuesday, there are people that were absolutely still grieving over Kobe's death, myself included. And for you to go ahead and write a column and write an article about the rape case and when is it the right time to talk about his complicated legacy, how about not 48 hours after someone's death? How about Given an actual time? Like, there's a point in time in which that, okay, you want to wait about, let's say, a month, 2 months? Sure. Okay. But Hold on a moment. Where's the same outrage when he was alive 2 weeks ago? For you absolute vultures out there, and I'm going to put this very nicely, for you vultures out there who felt that now would be the most appropriate time to start, you know, we're going to talk about it now, because yes, unfortunately, sexual assault is a damn big problem in this society. No questions asked. It is. But the problem that I'm beginning to really have with a lot of these journalists out there, so-called journalists, is that you lack integrity and you lack having a spine in saying, you know, we're just trying to get it out there, but no, we're trying to speak for all the victims. I call absolute horse manure on this one. Don't try to use that as some sort of a leeway, as an excuse to, no, this is what I'm going to do because I'm doing it just for the greater good. Nonsense. Nonsense. So yeah, I'm going to begin the show talking about the very people, because it's not just one person. This has become a thing in the last couple of days, where you have people who are out there in the media, I'm talking about, who feel that it's okay and say, you know what? The hell with the people that are grieving. We're going to talk about this because it needs to be talked about. All the while, you had an opportunity to talk about at the beginning of the month. Hell, you even had the opportunity to interview the man himself. Yet, you wait until after his tragic demise, 2 days later, 3 days later, to disrespect his memory, while at the same time disrespecting those, including his family, who are still feeling the pain right now. The people like his wife, his children, his three daughters that are still here. And may God give them the strength and the perseverance to get through this. Not only that, they're grieving, now they got to deal with this. Like, no, don't sit here and tell me this is for the sake of journalism. Nonsense. This is for the sake of your own cowardly selves. Because guess what? If you had any type of integrity, you would have confronted, at least seek out an interview. The man was available a month ago, 2 weeks ago, heck, a week ago. And you decided that we're going to wait until he dies so now we can really pile on. Like, shame on you. Shame on you. If that man was your father, black, white, purple, it don't make a difference. So I don't want to hear about the fact that, this isn't a racist. No, it's not a racist. It's a human issue. If this person was your father or your loved one, how would you feel? Answer that. To the so-called journalists that are out there, answer that honestly. If that was your father or your grandfather or your uncle, how would you feel? Tell me. Yes, Kobe's legacy on some level is a complicated one, but in large part, there's nothing complicated about it. If you want to look at the big picture, absolutely. If you want to talk about sexual assault, absolutely. Let's talk about it. But give people who were close to him and people that are grieving over his loss the opportunity to grieve. Like, there's nothing more worse, in my honest opinion, than the very people who lack the balls to actually confront the subject on a highly sensitive topic while they're still living, but wait until their demise to really address it. Absolutely sackless. Absolutely sackless. You want to talk about this issue? Let's talk about it. I got time today at 855-915-9636. 855-915-9636. Hit me up. And to everyone who out there who are victims of sexual assault, I am deeply sorry. I am deeply sorry with every fiber in my heart. Because unfortunately, there is someone out there who is very close and near to my heart who unfortunately is a victim of sexual assault and someone who is a victim of rape. So this topic is not something I take lightly. But while I take this seriously, I also believe and wait for the right moment and for the right time. Not in the immediate aftermath. And if you have any type of integrity as a human being, much less as a journalist, I think you do try to wish right. But since this is a let's get it out there and be first type of society, you're like, no, the hell with the truth. We're just going to get it out there because we need clicks. We need views. We need all the money. All the money we can get for this publication. That's what it's about. Like, honestly, what on earth happened to confronting controversial topics when they need to be confronted? When you have the opportunity, not when after the fact it's too late. So now you hide behind your laptops, you hide behind your phone screen or your computer screen to talk about it then. Again, you want to talk about this topic? Let's talk about it. I'm here with you until 6. Hit me up, 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. The Shook Me Right Show here on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Well, is here with you today until 6 o'clock. And we'll be here throughout this entire spring, moving forward, 5 to 6 on Saturdays. So this show will be still in the same time slot for the foreseeable future. So, with that being said, I wanna also point out this very important part here. There was something that happened last night in which that I think we really should take the time and listen to because it's only appropriate. And it's only appropriate that we really take the time to really listen to what LeBron had to say. And last night, LeBron James spoke at Staples Center, the Lakers' first home game since the death of Kobe Bryant. And for those that may have missed it, who may have missed the game and missed the beginning of the game, I want to take the time to spend the next 5 minutes to allow you to be able to remember Kobe and as well as listen to the passionate speech that LeBron James gave last night at the Staples Center prior to the start of the Trailblazers and Lakers game last night at the Staples Center. So here it is. LeBron James, he dedicates heartfelt speech to Kobe Bryant. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome LeBron James.
Before I get started on the speech that I have, I want to acknowledge all the lives that was lost Sunday morning. Alyssa Altabelli, John Altabelli, Carrie Altabelli, Peyton Chester, Sarah Chester, Christina Mauser, Ara Zabanya, Gianna Bryant, and Kobe Bryant. Now, I got something written down. You know, they asked me to kind of stay on course or whatever the case may be, but Laker Nation, man, I would be selling y'all short if I read off this shit, so I'm gonna go straight from the heart. The first thing that come to mind, man, is all about family. And as I look around this arena, we're all grieving. We're all hurt, we're all heartbroken. But when we're going through things like this, the best thing you can do is lean on the shoulders of your family. And from Sunday morning all the way to this point, now I heard about Laker Nation before I got here last year about how much of a family it is. And that is absolutely what I've seen this whole week, not only from the players, not only from the coaching staff, not only from the organization, but from everybody. Everybody that's here, this is really, truly, truly a family. And I know Kobe and Gianna and Vanessa and everybody, thank you guys from the bottom of their heart, as Kobe said. Now, I know at some point we will have a memorial for Kobe. But I look at this as a celebration tonight. This is a celebration of the 20 years of the blood, the sweat, the tears, the broken down body, the getting up, the sitting down, the everything, the countless hours, the determination to be as great as he could be. Tonight, we celebrate the kid that came here at 18 years of age. Retired at 38 and became probably the best dad that we've seen over the last 3 years, man. Tonight is a celebration. Before we get to play, love y'all, man. Kobe is a brother to me, and from the time I was in high school, to watching him afar, to get in this league at 18, watching him up close, all the battles that we had throughout my career. The one thing that we always shared is that determination to just want to win and just want to be great. And the fact that I'm here now means so much to me. I want to continue along with my teammates to continue his legacy, not only for this year, but as long as we can play the game of basketball that we love, because that's what Kobe Bryant will want. So in the words of Kobe Bryant, Mamba out, but in the words of us, not forgotten. Live on, brother.
That was LeBron James last night addressing the fans at Staples Center prior to the start of the Lakers game. While we still have the opportunity, I want to do the station identification and the PSA brought to you by 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. So stick around. This is 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
Bryn Spoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School. Back in 1966, concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxicity. In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug. There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use. Marijuana is one of the most studied substances. I believe that it is high time that this country reconsider its stance on cannabis.
Them legalize marijuana.
This is Freeman Dyson, and you're listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Freeform Radio.
This is 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Coming up next, we're gonna get into some thoughts on the Super Bowl. We got some Bruins talk, because last night, I really love what I saw last night in totality. So with that being said, I think we're gonna take a timeout, in which to just pause for a moment to collect our breaths at least, and just basically go from there. So coming up next, we're gonna talk about the Bruins last night's game. That plus your lovely phone calls as always, 855-915 WMFO, 855-9636. So with that being said, you're listening to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. And this is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio.
And hear the crystal raindrops fall on the window down the hall, and it becomes the morning dew. And darling, when the morning comes and I see the morning sun, I wanna be the one with you. Just the two of us.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Touch Free Farm Radio. We're here with you until 6 o'clock this evening. Call in at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. We're going to jump right into some Bruins discussion, as I have some thoughts on last night's Bruins win in Winnipeg against the Winnipeg Jets. And I'll also point out that they're also playing tonight at 8 o'clock in Minnesota against the Wild. That game is on NESN, coverage starting around, I believe, 7:30. And also, the Celtics are playing tonight against the 76ers. Kemba Walker is out for tonight's game. Al Horford will be playing in the game tonight for the Sixers. So that game is at 8:30 on ABC, nationally televised game on ABC tonight for the Celtics. So that's your Boston sports tonight for terms of the local teams. So Bruins, Wild, 8 o'clock on NESN. Sixers, Celtics, 8:30 on ABC only. So Bruins, Celtics are in action tonight. There you have it. So, speaking of the Bruins, last night, I really love what I saw. I really, 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 really love what I saw in terms of the Bruins last night, in terms of the win, but also, did you see that second period? If you saw that second period, this is the kind of all-time hockey I've been dying to see. I mean, listen, there was nothing dirty about the hits that were delivered last night by Winnipeg and the Bruins, nothing at all. You know, I mean, you had Marchand going at it. You had also McAvoy getting involved. You also saw Carson Kuhlman even get into it. It was a thing of beauty. And this is the kind of thing that if I were a Bruin fan, I would be jumping for joy. And frankly, I was. As I'm sitting watching the game last night on my phone over in the Seaport District, I was like, where was this all season? But you know what? Hey, this is the kind of team that the Bruins can be. Is it going to be like that every night? I mean, I hope not. But if I'm going to be honest with you, I really hope, if anything else, that this is a start of the Boston Bruins beginning to discover what they're fully capable of, especially with the trade deadline in 23 days. NHL trading deadline is on February 24th, ladies and gentlemen. And this is the point of the season now where Bruins are back from the bye, they're back from the All-Star break, and this is where I think that they really need to start searching for their identity. And last night was a perfect, perfect time to do it. On the road, in Winnipeg, against a Winnipeg Jets team that is desperate right now, fighting for playoff positioning in the Western Conference. It was perfect timing. First reason why I love what I saw last night in terms of the fighting was that, number one, if for those that have been listening to the show and following the show along, I've been very emphatic, borderline angry about the fact that the Bruins have not stand up for each other at all this season. That changed last night. That really did. And I think in more ways than one, this really is going to be a telltale sign for what to expect for the Boston Bruins in the final 30 games of the season. Tonight will be game number 52. And after tonight, they'll have 30 games remaining in the regular season between now and the regular season finale. So this was perfect in terms of setting the tone. We're not going to be pushed around. We will come after you if we have to. That's the kind of message that the Bruins set. And frankly, I loved it. Number two, there was a column that was written by Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub, .com, and he mentioned that this could possibly be a turning point for the Boston Bruins, the same way that the Bruins had their moment, their defining moment of the 2010-2011 Stanley Cup championship team of that season in a game against the Atlanta Thrashers. But my personal opinion, the defining moment for the Boston Bruins happened in two separate games that season. And quickly, it was against the Dallas Stars, if you remember. And then it was a home game in February of 2011 against the Montreal Canadiens. Both games I remember quite well. But last night was an example of what happens when this team plays together. And you can ask for anything more. I mean, obviously, Patrice Bergeron scoring the tying goal, and then Jake DeBrus scoring the winning goal, which was on a power play. And this is the very thing that the Bruins have been looking for. And we talk about defining moments in championship seasons. This is a team that if it finds out exactly what they're capable of, and they are capable of being much more than just a skills team, a team that is not afraid to stand up for each other and stand up for themselves. This is a team that could be absolutely dangerous in the playoffs. That's number two. Number three, Tuukka Rask. Man, Tuukka Rask in his last, six games that he's played, he has a .943 save percentage. That in itself is a microcosm as to why I am not afraid to say that you could put Tuukka Rask in the conversation for Vezina Trophy candidate for this season. You can put him in the conversation. Yes. Because his numbers have been that good. Now, you have the Tuukka haters that are like, no buts. Because the truth is, Tuukka Rask on many nights has shown you what he's been able to do and what he's capable of doing. And frankly, him getting that rest in terms of the concussion that he had before the All-Star break. Remember that game against Columbus that he sustained the concussion? Yeah. That break plus the bye week, you couldn't ask for anything more. If I'm going to be completely honest. And if anything, there was something to be learned last night. Although Winnipeg scored first, I really do think that Tuukka has shown yet again, even on nights that the Bruins have scored, what, 4 or 5 goals, that he's capable of keeping this team in the game, and that's exactly what he did. And that's the beautiful part about it. So, with that being said, those are the reasons why last night's was truly a very important moment, and that could be a defining moment for this team moving forward. I mean, what happens from here on out, that remains to be seen. And what happens next, especially over the next 3 weeks, will be quite telling for this team moving forward. And this team has had thoughts of redemption all season long. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you now. I'm going to tell you that the Bruins, they know it now. This is the final stretch. Yeah, 30 games left. This is it. We're at the beginning of a new month, February. You got all of this month and all of next month to tune up for the playoffs. Establish your game. Fine-tune certain parts of your game that could be worked on. So that's something that I think it's something that is going to be very important for the Boston Bruins. Because I'll tell you what, although the Bruins are in good standing right now in the Atlantic Division, they know they can't afford to take the foot off the pedal. And if I'm the Boston Bruins, this is where you begin to really establish your place in the East. Because the truth is, this team is too good. This team is too good to just absolutely just wither away. And I'm feeling very optimistic. I really am. Because last night showed me two things. It showed me that the Bruins, their ability to really buckle down defensively, especially when Winnipeg was essentially going on a power play almost every other shift, essentially. I don't mean that literally, by the way. And the Bruins, especially when they were facing a 5-on-3 for a minute 11 at one point in the second period, I'm telling you, this team defensively, they really buckled down and didn't allow the Winnipeg just to score. And that's the part, to me, that tells me that their penalty killing is getting even better, is getting stronger, and that perhaps the addition of Jeremy on Lawson is going to be so important down the stretch, especially for a team that has been looking for that sixth defenseman all season long. You obviously know what you got in Chara. McAvoy has been outstanding defensively this season. Matt Grizzly, Torrey Krug, terrific as always. And to even take it a step further, you're learning now what you have in that sixth defenseman, Jeremy Lawson. I tell you what, I think this guy is going to be here to stay. I don't think he gets sent back down to Providence. I doubt it, but I do think that he can be that impact type of player, and that's why I think tonight's game is going to be interesting to watch. Because frankly, the Bruins are slowly beginning to see what they have with a couple of these young kids. It's going to be fascinating to watch, ladies and gentlemen. I can't wait. We're in the home stretch now. Now, you can call this the official push for the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's here now. It's here. 2 months. 2 months. And interestingly enough, as mentioned, the Bruins have 30 games left. This is it. They've been riding comfortably all season long. Now, it started last night, but it continues tonight as well. What type of team are they going to be and what type of team can they become once they discover their true ceiling? Because I don't think they have yet. They're just beginning to figure that out. And that, my friends, if you're a Bruins fan, is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. We're going to take a break. But when we return, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl and give you my official thoughts and predictions. As you can call into the show at 855-915-WMFO, 855-915-9636. And I tell you what, tomorrow is going to be one heck of a game. I know it. I can feel it and I sense it. And I really believe it. I really do. So stay tuned for some Super Bowl discussion coming up next on the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. This is Shukri Wright. You're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, Tufts Reform Radio.
Give me the night. Give me the night.
Welcome back to the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFON, Medford Tufts Free Form Radio. Glad you're able to join us on a Saturday night, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Thank you for making this show part of your Saturday evening, wherever you are, wherever you may be doing. I know it's Super Bowl weekend, so I know a lot of you are out there tonight, probably just getting themselves ready for the big game tomorrow. Super Bowl Sunday only comes around once a year. Once a year, that's it. That's it. And after the emotionally trying week that it has been, and it still is for so many of us, still mourning the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna, and as well as the seven others killed in the helicopter crash, just tomorrow make exactly 1 week already. It's still a emotionally trying time, but sports has an ability, a powerful ability at that, to be a great distraction and a great reminder of how it can unite people. So the one thing I am looking forward to for tomorrow is for 3.5 hours, one game to determine the Super Bowl champion for the 2019 season. Although my New England Patriots are out of it, and it does feel weird. I'm not going to lie to you. It does feel awfully weird. But all in all, I think it's going to be a great game. And let me tell you why. You have the Chiefs, who have waited 50 years for this moment. You have the Niners, who they have been building for this moment for the last 2 or 3 years. And part of what makes this game so enticing is you have one team whose front seven is the best that we've seen in the league this year, if not possibly in quite some time. But then we also have an offense at the Kansas City Chiefs and a quarterback in Patrick Mahomes, in which we haven't seen anyone in the likes of Patrick Mahomes yet until now. And we've seen what Patrick Mahomes has been able to do during this playoff run for the Kansas City Chiefs. Make no mistake about it. But at the same time, the number one thing I want to be looking at tomorrow in terms of matchups, before I give my official prediction to close out the show, that is the Kansas City receivers versus the San Francisco 49ers secondary. Because I'm telling you, it's going to be an absolute matchup. Allow me to explain. The Kansas City Chiefs receivers, they have long established their reputation as being street burners, meaning that their speed basically will just burn out the rubber on a tire leaving skid marks in the road. I mean, you look at Tyreek Hill, the speed that he possesses, and Sammy Watkins, not to mention it. Not to mention also Patrick Mahomes, who's sneaky fast also as well, should he decide that he wants to escape the pocket. I'm telling you, this is going to be some matchup. And I'm not afraid to say this. Offensively, the Niners and the Chiefs are just about almost evenly matched in terms of just total offense. But running the ball is where the Niners have the advantage. Especially with Mostert and Freda in the backyard and whatnot. So with that being said, I think that one thing it will come down to, especially if you are a Chiefs fan, is how will the Niners defend against the pass? That's going to be the real interesting aspect because you know, the Niners this season, right now, they're the best defense in the NFL remaining. They were second in the league in total defense this year. And the one thing I will say is this. I will say that what I'm most intrigued by is the following matchup. The following matchup in which that you got Tyreek Hill against Richard Sherman. That's your matchup of the game right there. Mark my words. So remember, in 24 hours, because the game is in 24 hours and let's say 34 minutes, the matchup for the game is going to be Tyreek Hill against Richard Sherman. You shut Tyreek Hill down, you have a chance. Because Mahomes is already enough of a concern. Let's just keep it all the way real. Mahomes is already enough of a concern. And I didn't even talk about Travis Kelce and what he can do in the passing game and how dangerous that he already is. So with that being said, this is a matchup in which that the defense for the 49ers, they're going to have a lot on their plate and trying to figure out how they're going to contain Patrick Mahomes. That's going to be the test. We know what the pass rush can do, but here's the thing. Patrick Mahomes is as good as being elusive from the pocket as we've seen any quarterback in quite some time. And dare I even say better than Cam Newton. Yeah. Even better than Cam Newton. And hell, even better than Michael Vick in his prime. And now that's saying a lot. Because the fact of the matter is this. Mahomes, you can make an argument, he's better throwing the ball on the run than he is throwing from the pocket. And throwing from the pocket, he's amazing. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted. He's terrific throwing the ball from the pocket, but he's also equally as good, if not even better, throwing on the run with pinpoint accuracy. So it don't make a difference. So for the Niners, it's going to come down to pick your poison. If you're the San Francisco 49ers, you're thinking, how can we manage Jimmy Garoppolo? And I don't think it's because they don't trust that Jimmy G can throw the ball down the field. I don't think it's that. Because when you have a running game that is as good as San Francisco's is, you know you can control the time of possession and a game clock with your running game. That's a fact. And I'm guaranteeing you for a fact, if the Niners get out to a big lead, look for them to run the ball. Because Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator when Atlanta had that infamous collapse in Super Bowl 51, 28-3. Remember that? Yeah, I'm sure everybody here in New England does, because we all know how that ended. But the fact of the matter is this. The lessons in which he learned in that game, he's going to bring into this game. But I'm telling you, this is going to be one of those type of games. It's not going to be low scoring. And my official prediction for tomorrow's Super Bowl 54, I got Kansas City winning this game 30-27. You heard it here. Chiefs 30, Niners 27. That's my official prediction. That's going to be it for the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. It's been a blast. It's been great to be here again. I'll be back again sometime next week. Stay tuned for any show announcements. It's going to be great. to talk about this game. Super Bowl Sunday tomorrow. Whatever you do, be safe. Have a blast. Can't wait to be back here to talk about it next week. Either or, it's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned. Coming up next, you got The Loft. So it's going to be great. It's been great talking to you. This is Shukri Wright. And this has been the Shukri Wright Show on 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford. Have a great rest of your Saturday.